Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a great God we serve. You know what? It is October 13, 2021. We serve the mighty God, the almighty God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come to honor you, to bless you, to give you glory, to give you praise, to give you honor. All the honor, all the praise belong to you, O God. And we say hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you that this is the day that you have made. We are so grateful that you woke us up in the land of the living this morning. You saw fit to call our name. We got up, amen, hallelujah, from our comfortable places of sleep. Oh, God, we got up to call on your name, to glorify you, to magnify you. We got up to give you all the glory, all the praise, the honor. We got up to give praises to the Most High God, to give praises to our Creator. We honor your presence today in the mighty name of Jesus. You are omnipresent. You are all over the world at the same time. You're in Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina, Washington State, Arizona, Nevada, all over America. And Lord, most definitely, you are in every nation because you are the ruler of every nation. So we thank you that you are in Africa, Asia, Antarctica, Australia, North America, South America, and Europe. Hallelujah. There's no place that you're not. You are awesome, God. You are Jehovah El Elyon, the Most High God. You are so powerful. You are almighty. Nothing is impossible to you, oh God. You are Jehovah Adonai. You are our Lord. You are the one that we bow down to. You are the one that we call upon your name. You're the one that we could say, Abba, Father, and you've already heard before we call. You are Jehovah Nisi, O God. You're that banner that we need in the mighty name of Jesus. You are the one that loves us regardless, O God. Your love will never change for us. You are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You're El Shaddai, Almighty God. What an awesome Father you are. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in us, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for being the Most High God. We thank you, Lord God, for being Jehovah Tsidkenu, a righteous God. Father, you are righteous, and you want us to live right, act right, be right with you and with those who live around us. You want our light to shine brighter. We are the salt of the earth. Oh, God, we have not lost our savor. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God. You are Jehovah, Roha, our shepherd, in the name of Jesus. You are leading us in a plain path, and we say hallelujah to the Most High God, hallelujah to our King, hallelujah to our shepherd. Oh, yeah, we give you glory, praise, and thanksgiving today in the mighty name of Jesus. We say hallelujah. We praise your name. We bless you today, Lord God. We thank you that we could call on your mighty name, your holy name. Oh, yeah, we don't have to wait. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we don't have to wait. All we got to do is say, Abba, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you today for what you're doing, what you're going to do, in the mighty name of Jesus. We just praise and honor you. We say, thank you, Jesus. What a faithful friend you are. You are faithful to us, Lord God. And we say, hallelujah. We give you all the praise, all the glory, the honor. Ooh, honor belongs to you. We honor you, Lord God. We bow low before you, oh God. Even the angels bow down and give you glory and praise and thanksgiving. So we do too, Lord God. And we thank you for what you're doing in all of us today. Oh, you are a magnificent Father. You have not forgotten what you promised us. So we thank you today that every promise shall come forth. Every promise shall come forth. Oh, no, you are not human. You don't lie. You tell the truth. And you want us to tell the truth. You say whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are truthful, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of a good report, that's what you want our minds to be focused on. And we say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I say good afternoon. to each and every person that joined us. Oh, yeah, we thank God for you. It's praise time. Midweek Bible study, October 13th. Oh, we serve the awesome, powerful God. He can't be compared to no God. Those are dead God. We serve the true and living God. He's the only one, the wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. Yes, he is everything we need. Everything we need and more. Oh, yeah, we thank God for you and you and you. Now, you know none can compare to how excellent our God is. How powerful. Oh, yeah. He's excellent now. So we thank God. I feel like praising him. I woke up feeling like praising him. So I thank God that we can praise the Almighty. Yeah, he said, you know, we can praise him. Where two or more gather together in his name. Now, you don't have to have nobody else to praise God. You can praise him just all by yourself. So I thank God for Minister Laney from Jackson, Mississippi. She's here today. We thank God for her. She's going to sing and play a song of praise. Hallelujah. How you doing, Minister Laney?
Hey, oh, man, I'm doing fine, Sister G. How you doing?
Oh, okay, good. I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
Praise God. I need the every arm, most gracious Lord. No tender oh, like thine, oh no, can feed a poor, oh, I need thee, oh. I need thee, yes, Lord, every day, Lord, I need thee, oh, oh, bless. Bless me right now, my Savior. Oh, you are precious, Savior Jesus. Oh, God, I come Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being our Lord and our healer of just everything that is a need. That's who you are. You are the great I Am, and we come in the name of Jesus celebrating the power that is in your might, celebrating the love that you have for us. And we bring before you particularly right now seniors who are in homes, at home, in hospitals or wherever they are, God, we pray for divine intervention right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. You have all the forces of heaven that are available to minister help in Jesus' name. You said your angels are ministers to minister to us. You said your word and heal them, and you plead the blood of Jesus. Oh, we just simply speak the name of Jesus over them right now. Ah, God, even as we speak right now, they can sense in the atmosphere your presence and feel the comfort and the warmth of your love and care in Jesus' name. We pray for that, God. Hallelujah. Just to show up and show yourself strong, God, in Jesus' name. And particularly for those who have made you their hope over the years, and you said in your word that hope maketh not ashamed. When we hope in you, we know that we have a future. We have an expected end where you're going to bring full circle those who love you to a place of abundance and peace and love where we can rest in your arms. And on this side of heaven, we thank you for the benefits of that as well as what's on the other side. Glory to your name, God, in Jesus' name. We pray for those who are dealing with COVID and other types of disease that's in the earth right now. Oh, God, we thank you that you are the conscience of America, your word and your love, and you give us the power to use your word and to tell people about your word and tell them about your way and your will and invite you into their business. We invite you now, Father, to just have preeminence, and particularly for those who are faith, who are waiting right now in faith for a move of you. We ask for it in Jesus' name. And for those who don't know you, we know you operate through grace and mercy, and you reign on the just as well as the unjust, and you bless the just and the unjust, because that's what grace is. It's just an abundance of blessings that we haven't earned, that we haven't earned the benefits of. It's all because of what Jesus did. So we thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy be upon them now, upon particularly those who are going through COVID, those in the hospital struggling to breathe and to feel empowered to live again. Bless them, God, in Jesus' name. Senior care, seniors in senior care, bless them everywhere. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you, God, for hearing and answering our prayer in Jesus' name. We bind every spirit of infirmity in Jesus' name. According to your word, everything must bow to the name of Jesus in heaven and earth and under the earth. So we speak your word now. We speak your healing. We speak your abundance upon them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Minister Laney. We appreciate you. Thank God for you.
Amen.
Thank God for each of you that are on here. We appreciate you. Love you all so much. Well, I was ready. You know how we do it. Yep. It's scripture search time. We got scripture search the word. Because God has a word for you and you and you. So when you search the word, he's going to give you the word. You don't necessarily need a prophet to give you a word. God is himself is going to give you a word. When you read his word and search it out, he said, when you search for me with all your heart, you're going to find me. So we got to find the Lord. I don't know about you, but I know in this hour, I need him like I never needed him before. So we're doing today, what's missing? What's missing? So Psalms 4:4 is the first scripture, Psalms chapter 4, verse 4. You find, you tell me what's missing. Stand in awe and blank, blank, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Stand in awe and blank, blank, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. What's missing? What did I leave out? I left out two words. Psalms 4, chapter 4. Verse 4, stand in awe and blank, blank, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. So state your name. Give us the answer. What two words did I leave off?
Sister Marion.
Correctly. All
Sister
right.
Marion, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Sin not is what was left out.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Mary. Awesome job. All right. So I want to know, next scripture, Job 22:7. I want to know what words are missing. Job 22:7. Job 22:7. Now has not thou, I'm sorry, thou has not given blank, 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 to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. What words did I leave off? Job 22:7, thou hast not given blank, 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 to drink, and thou hast not withholden bread from the hungry. What words
Sister
did I
Marion
off?
Again. Sister Marion again.
Go ahead. All right.
Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast not withhold bread from the hungry. Not given water to the weary to drink was what was left out.
All right. Excellent. Good job, Sister Marion. All right. Y'all got to catch up with Sister Marion. Now she got her jogging shoes on. Come on, y'all. She's going to run the marathon. All right, Psalms 25:4. Psalms 25:4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Blank, blank thy path. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Blank, blank thy path. What words did I leave off? Psalms 25:4. Come on, y'all, put your jogging shoes on. Y'all got to win the marathon. Come on.
This is Samarian again.
All
show
right.
me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path is what slipped out.
All right. Teach me. Yes, is what's left off. Good job. Excellent. Excellent. All right. Y'all got to catch up with her now. Come on here, y'all. She already got 4 points. She's four meters ahead of y'all. You got to catch up. Psalms 119:11. Psalms 119:11. They compass me about, but in the blank, 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 I will destroy them. What did I leave off? They compass me about, but in the blank, 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 I will destroy them. What did I leave off? Psalms 119:11. Come on, y'all. Sister Mary, she getting all the score, y'all. Catch up. Anybody can answer, Sister Mary. Anybody can answer. Go ahead.
Sister Gio, I'll do it again.
Okay.
119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin. Hid in my heart that I might not sin.
Is that correct, y'all?
He said, thy word have I, you said, blank, blank, that I might not blank against you.
You got Psalms 119. What verse do you have?
11.
Wow, I must have written it wrong. Let me check it. Y'all check it with me. Come on, y'all. Is she correct? I could be wrong.
She's correct.
All right. Well, I wrote it wrong. Well, thank you so much. I wrote it incorrectly. Oh, my God. I wrote another scripture down. I don't know what I wrote. All right. Okay. So let's go to the last one in this section, John 20:10. John 20:10. All right, it says, then the blank, blank, blank to their own home. John 20:20. Then they blank, blank, blank to their own home.
John 20:10. Okay. Then the disciples, Sister Laney, went away again unto their own home.
All right. That's correct. All righty. You guys are on the ball. Thank you so much. Y'all doing great. Great, 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 great. All right. This part says, what did God say? What did God say? This is still scripture. We're searching the scripture. I want to know what God said. In Acts 1:1, what did he say in Acts 1:1? Come on, y'all, let's find it. Acts 1:1. What did God say? What did God say in Acts 1:1?
Sister Marion, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all thy Jerusalem, all thy Jesus began both to do and teach.
Okay.
You said Acts 1:1, right?
That is correct. That is correct. You did it correctly. Thank you so much. All right. We're still doing scripture search. What did God say? All the lines are open. What did God say? The verse? The scripture this time is Revelation 10:10. What did God say in Revelation 10:10? Come on, get your Bibles going, you guys. Get your Bibles. Get those Bibles out. Revelation 10:10. What did it say?
And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter.
Who's this?
Jasmine, sorry.
That's okay. Thank you, Jasmine. That was awesome. Very good, Jasmine. All right. All right, next scripture, James 1:22. What does it say? What did God say in James 1:22?
This is Sister Lane.
Marian.
Go ahead. Both of y'all can go.
Sister Lane. Go ahead, Sister Lane.
Okay, James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
All right. Y'all are doing great. Excellent job. Okay. Now, we're on the next scripture. What did God say in Proverbs 10:17? What did God say in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17? State your name and read.
Sister Marian.
Okay.
10:17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth.
All right. Excellent. You guys are doing a wonderful job. We got one more coming up right here. This is the last one in this section. James 4:7. James chapter 4, verse 7. What does it say? State your name and read it. Come on, y'all. Got to catch up. Come on, y'all. Doing good.
Jasmine, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Excellent. Woo! Y'all did good. Give yourselves a hug. Excellent, excellent, excellent. I'm so proud of you. Well, y'all know what time it is. It's homework time. It is homework time. Get your homework ready. We got Sister Lainey. She's first doing the homework. She has Exodus chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. So go right ahead,
okay.
Sister Lainey.
Yes, ma'am. Exodus 11, 1 through 7. God said unto Moses, I will bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. After this plague, he will let the children of Israel go. In fact, he will practically throw you out, drive you out completely. God told him to whisper to the people of God the following, the people of children of Israel. Every man should borrow of his neighbor. Every woman should borrow of neighbors. Jewels of silver and gold. He used the word borrow, but we know what's going to happen later on. And this God, the Lord, gave the children of Israel favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. At this time, the Egyptians knew of Moses' reputation had become very great in the land of Egypt. They knew that whatever he said happened, and they feared Moses, so they were willing to help the people get what they asked for. In their eyes, Moses was a man highly regarded, even to be feared by Pharaoh's servants and the Egyptian people. Moses' final plague assignment was to go out about midnight in the middle of Egypt and decree that all the firstborn in the land of Egypt would die. This would include Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, maid servants who were working in the mill, and the beasts that were in the field, even the cattle. When this happened, a horrific cry rang out throughout the land. Never such a painful cry ever heard, and none like it anymore shall be. I thought that was very interesting for the Bible to note that there would never be another pain that would be so powerful as the cry that rang out that night. Yet among the Israelites, and even a dog will snare at man or beast. In other words, the Israelites once again were safe while things were happening to Pharaoh and his people. After this, there was a great silence. Note it was clear to all that the Lord treated the children of Israel with care and allowed the Egyptians to suffer the anguish of all the plagues. Having God makes the difference. The divine distinction is finally established. Pharaoh is finally convinced that Moses' God is far more powerful than his power. That's it.
Amen. Yes, indeed. Those are the words right there. Pharaoh finally realized that his God was not as powerful as Moses' God. Woo, hallelujah.
That's right.
Well, our next topic, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just amen.
Oh, okay. All right. Does anyone want to read Exodus 11, 8 through 10? Our person is not here that's doing that one. Exodus 11, 8 through 10. Anybody want to volunteer to read it?
I'll read it since I'm already there. And all thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee. And after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Out of his land.
Amen, amen. All right. Well, yes, thank you so much. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that ended that chapter. So now we just had Exodus 11 chapter. It had 10 verses. So we're going to be moving into Exodus chapter 12. And we have Jasmine on with us. She's going to give us a summary of Exodus 12, 1 through 7.
All right. The chapter opens with the Lord speaking to Moses and Aaron. He told them that this month that he was speaking to them would be the first month of the year to them. He told them to tell Israel that on the 10th day that every man should take a lamb for a house according to the house of their fathers. And if a household is too little for the lamb, let the man and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. The Lord told them also that their lamb would be without a blemish, a male of the first year taken from the sheep or goats. They will keep it until the 14th day of the same month and kill it with the whole of Israel in the evening. And then they will need to take the blood and strike it on two side posts and the upper door posts of the houses where they will eat it.
Amen.
And that is the end.
Thank you, Jasmine. For Jasmine. She's really the oldest one on here. She's 23, y'all. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, a powerful, mighty young woman of the Lord. I'm just teasing her. She's the youngest one on here. We thank God for Jasmine. All right. Well, I know Sister Talana's on here, but I'm not sure. Are you able to give your homework, Sister Talana? If she don't say nothing, I know she can't give it. But she told me she may not be on. I mean, she may not be able to say it. Okay, well, she didn't answer yet. So does anyone want to read Exodus 12, 8 through 15? That's her homework.
Sister Gita, Sister Marion, I'll try it.
Okay.
And they were told to eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat it not raw, nor sodden, at all with water, but roast with fire, the head and his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And he also said, you shall let nothing remain until the morning that remaineth until the morning. It shall be burned. If anything was left over, it shall be burned with fire. And thou shalt eat it not, your loins girded, your shoes on your feet. When you eat, you shall eat with your lion's grit, goat gritted, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. You said 3:11, right?
You
said 8 to 11?
8 to 15.
Okay. And he said that they will pass through the land of Egypt that night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Both men, beasts, and all the gods of Egypt will execute judgment. He said, I am the Lord. And the blood shall be, then the blood shall be a token upon the houses that you pass. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague will not come upon or destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day be unto you in memorial, and you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eat leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And that was, I think, 7 through 15.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. All right. Well, the next question is not one that's supposed to read. So, Jasmine, I'm going to ask you to read Exodus 12, 16 through 22. Exodus 12, 16 through 22.
All right. Let me just.
Yeah.
Exodus 12, 16 through 22, right?
Yes.
All right. Okay. And in the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the one and twentieth day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and said unto them, draw out, and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning.
All right. Thank you so much. Well, the one who had those scriptures just came on, Brother Brian. Your sister read it for you. Now you can give the summary. Exodus 12, 16 through 22. How you doing, Brother Brian?
Hi, Sister G. Good evening, everyone. Well, good afternoon. I'm sorry. Hope y'all are doing well. So Exodus 12, 22, we come up to the place where God is giving them the commands that he wants them to do. And the first thing that we come upon is the holy convocation, where they're going to have, where the first day of it, I believe, was the convocation itself. And then the seventh day, there was another convocation. And in those days, God ordained that you could have no.
Let me see if the blood of on the lintel and on the.
Go ahead, Brother Brian.
That they would have no day or they would have no work or anything done. And then the other thing that God told them to do was to have the Feast of the Unleavened Bread as a reminder that he had brought them out of Israel. And this was going to be a day that they were supposed to cherish from that time on to forever. And then one of the other things that God did, of course, it was a lot of stuff in these verses that God wanted them to do. But the other thing was specifically, and there are also spiritual meanings behind these for the reasons why he told them to do that, was that it says that the first month of the 14th day, you should eat the unleavened bread until the 20th day. And then once again, he said it's 7 days after that that there should be no leaven found. And when I looked up leaven, that's supposed to represent yeast. So you're supposed to have bread without yeast for those 7 days. And then last but not least, at the end of all of this, after God gave them the ordinances and the convocations and the feast that they were supposed to have, Moses had called to all of the Israelites, all of the elders of Israel, and asked them to make sacrifices. And then that part that I came on with Jash and reading, they were supposed to take the hyssop and dip it in blood and then strike the side posts of the door, and no one should go out until the morning. And that's my summary, everyone.
Thank you so much. That was awesome. All right. Thank you. All right. So now we have Sister Miriam. She has Exodus 12, 23 through 26.
Okay, 23 through 26. The Lord said he would pass through to smite Egypt, and when he seeth the blood of both upon the lintel and on the two side posts, he will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into the houses to have the blood on him. He would not smite those houses. And he wanted them to observe this thing as an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it will come to pass when he be come to the land which the Lord gave Israel according to his promise, that he shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when their children shall grow up, saying to you, what mean ye by this servant? The kids are going to ask the question, what do you mean by this servant, of the ordinance that they have to keep? That was 23 through 26.
All right. Thank you, Sister Mary. Brother Brian, could you do Exodus 12, 27 through 33? Could you read it? And can you cover Exodus 12, 27 through 42? Those people are not here. They're supposed to do that. Exodus 12, 27 through 42. You can cover that. Just read it if you want.
Okay, you want. Okay, so starting at 27, reading for the King James Version, it says, that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head in worship. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and of the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh, he and all his servants and all of the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called to Moses for Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. and the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot. There were men beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, flocks and herds, and very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared from themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. It is this night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations.
All right, would you go ahead and finish that?
Yes, ma'am. To finish the rest of the chapter?
Yes.
Okay. So starting at 43, it says that, and the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant that is brought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then he shall eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In the house, in one house shall it be eaten, that thou shalt not carry forth out the flesh abroad out of thy house, neither ye break a bone thereof. All of the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when the stranger shall sojourn with thee, you will keep the Passover to the Lord. Let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. For he shall be as the one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass in the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. And that is it.
Amen. Thank you so much. Excellent reading. I'm going to ask Sister Miriam if she could read Exodus 11, 1 through 7 for me. And we're going to begin the message with that scripture. Exodus 11, verses 1 through 7, Sister Miriam.
Exodus 11, 1 through 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, and in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus said the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even upon the firstborn of the maid servant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there none like it, nor shall be left any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord does put a difference between the Egyptians and the Israel. That was 1 through 7.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right. So today our message is going to be taken from that scripture, emphasizing Exodus 11, verse 7. It says, but against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue against man or beast? And this is the emphasis right here, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. So the Lord makes a difference. There is a distinction between the Egyptian Pharaoh and his people, the Egyptians of Pharaoh and his people, and Moses and God's people. God's people are favored. In our Bible reading this week, God's people are favored. The title of the message is, there is a distinction between the world and God's people. There is a distinction between the world and God's people. Even though God reigns on the just and the unjust, there are great benefits. There are great benefits in being a child of God. So I'm telling you, if you in 2021, we're going to receive great benefits for serving our God. Great benefits. Because if you'll notice throughout the Bible, God gave great benefits to his people, but he did not give them to people who didn't follow him. So God warned Pharaoh to let the people go 10 times, not just one, 10 times. There were 10 plagues. But now he knew Pharaoh was going to harden his heart, so God hardened it for him 10 times. Can you imagine? I wonder how many times God had to speak to me before I listened. I can't even count them. I don't know. It may have been more than Pharaoh. So I repent because, you know, I mean, there was a time where I was stubborn and rebellious. I was like Jonah. I said, okay, Lord, but I went the other way. So, you know, and God, you know, made a request, but it was met with resistance, anger. Every time Moses went, Moses represented God. Every time he went to Pharaoh, Pharaoh put up, you know, a resistance. Even the plagues got worse. Pharaoh was so obstinate, ignorant, and unyielding. God was persistent. Oh, let me tell you something. God is eternal. Now, you know, we wear out, but God don't wear out. We get tired. We get weary. We get discouraged, but no. Our Father don't get that way at all. He got, oh, my God. He got all the power. He's almighty. He don't slumber. He don't sleep. God is always very specific in his requirements. God's plan must, not should, could, but must be carried out exactly the way he gives them. If Noah had not obeyed God, if he had not followed God's plan in building the ark, Noah and his family would have perished with everybody else. And who? Yeah, they would have been outside the ark. Even though Noah was 600 years old. You know, we say we tired and we're not even 100 years old. We say, oh, I'm tired, Lord. But, you know, Noah did exactly what God told him. I mean, he followed it to a T. So I'm telling you, there is a distinction between the world and God's people. There is a great distinction between, you know, the world and God's people. He load us up with benefits every day. I don't know if you receive yours, but I receive mine every day. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You open my eyes again. Thank you, Lord. So, you know, Noah, he had to use gopher wood. And, you know, what if he had to use another kind of wood other than what God said? Do you think that ark would have stayed afloat? Nope. He used pitch within and without, the length God told him. You know, I love God because he gives specific things. He don't try to leave it to your imagination. He said, okay, well, whatever you want to do, you know, you could do. Oh, no. He's a specific God. The length shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it shall, this is what he told Noah, 50 cubits, and height 30 cubits. So God is very specific. He said, a window shall be in the ark. And then he gave them all other instructions. But you know what? Noah was obedient. He followed what God told him. If Noah had decided, you know, to do what he wanted to do it his way, he said, well, okay, well, you know, this is going to be easier right here. I ain't going to use gopher wood. I'm going to use another wood because that gopher wood is tough. I'm tired. I'm 600 years old. I don't feel like doing that. I'm going to cut corners here. You know, I'm going to do it my way. Oh, yeah, but we wouldn't be here today. Noah was very obedient, followed God's specific plan, and that's us, too. We got to do that. We have to follow God's specific plan. You know, we cannot lean to our own understanding. If God said, listen, I want you to go on Main Street, and I want you to be on Main Street by 4 o'clock, you say, well, okay, I get there about between 4 and 4:30. That is not going to work. You got to do specific what God said. So Noah followed God's plan just as God gave it. Now, Noah left an example for us. So we have to do that same thing. Now, when we were reading Exodus 12, Moses followed, Moses followed God's specific plan. Moses, he told the people what God said, and they followed God's specific plan so they would live and not die. That's what we got to do. He said on the 10th of the month, you know, do this and do the other, get these animals, do these certain things. On the 14th day of the month, do these things, do this, do the other. He said take some bread and spread it on the doorpost and, you know, everybody's hot, blood, I'm sorry, blood and spread. I put bread, but it's supposed to be blood on the doorpost and, you know, spread it everywhere. Now, suppose they just said, well, look here. I ain't got time to do all of that. God, you the Almighty, you just protect me. Oh, no. You got to follow his instructions. If he told you, listen, I want you to go around your house 7 times today. I want you to anoint it with oil. We can't say, well, shoot, I'm tired. I'm only going to walk around it 2 times. This is too much for me. God, why you want me to do all of these things? We got to do what he said. God is specific in his instructions to all of us, to Moses and to Aaron and the Hebrew people. God was, he had a specific plan. He wasn't trying to, God wasn't going to change his plan because they were tired or because they didn't understand, because they leaned to their own understanding. No, no, no. God warns us and he gives us time to obey him. But when people continue to do things their way, God chastens. He chastens us. You ever been chastened by God? Let me tell you. I'd rather my mom and my dad to chasten me than God. I don't want to be chastened by the Almighty. His chastisement is not good, but he does it because he loves us, and he wants us to stay the course. He did, you know, when Pharaoh refused, he chastened. He chastened Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't know he had fallen into the hands of an angry God. Oh, no. You know, when God is angry, you better look out. He keep on warning his people, telling them over and over the same thing, keep warning them, and they don't pay attention. Uh-uh. You know, yeah, they say, well, God ain't going to hurt me. He love me. He love me. Yes, he does. Did your mama hurt you? She loved you. Did your daddy hurt you? They loved you, right? Well, let me tell you, God is a vengeful God. When he takes vengeance, you better look out. God does not play. That's what I used to tell my children in the classroom. They be, you know, doing something, and I said, look here, I laugh and I joke, but I don't play. I meant what I said. Now, God is even more so than me. He don't play. He means everything he says. He don't play. He ain't got time to play. He got too many people in the world. He ain't trying to play with us. He's trying to save us. He's trying to make sure we don't go to destruction. Obedience is the key to having favor with God. Favor is a benefit of being obedient child of God. Moses and Aaron had favor with God. They were obedient, even when they didn't understand the whole plan of God. They didn't need to know the whole plan. I don't even know if they knew the next plague that was coming. But they obeyed God. Maybe God gave them one plague at a time. He said, look, he could have just given Moses all of it. He said, okay, look, these 10 plagues, and you do how you want to do. Oh, no. God sent, every time Moses come back, he said, okay, Moses, Pharaoh's heart's going to be hardened, but I'm going to send this plague. It's going to still be hardened, but I'm going to send the next plague, and I'm going to send it. He sent 10 plagues. How many times do God have to warn us? Is it 10, 15, 20, 25? You know, come on now. How many times do you have to tell us the same thing over and over? And, you know, say, yeah, something told me. No, if it wasn't the devil, you know who it was telling you. So you got to obey. 1 Samuel 15, 22 says, then Samuel said, does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offering and sacrifice as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. To pay attention is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is the sin of divination, and defiance is like wickedness and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you, king. God requires total obedience, not partial. You know, like you tell your child, go in there and clean your room. When you get through cleaning up your room, go clean up the bathroom. Well, they may clean up the bathroom and don't clean up their room. What you going to do? You just going to let them say, okay, babe, well, next time. No. You got to make sure they do everything you told. After a while, they won't believe you. They think you're playing with them. If you just, you let them get away with part of it. No, you got to follow instructions. Following instructions when you're a child teaches you to follow instructions when you get to be an adult. You don't know what plan God has for you, your children, your seed. Pharaoh was determined to do things his way until the last plague came. He lost his child. You know, it's sad when we have to go to that extent. That's a great extent to be disobedient. So God said, okay, you don't want to do what I'm telling you. I'm the Almighty. I've warned you. I've sent my servant 9 times to tell you. Now, this time, I'm very serious. That's the child. He said, you know, we used to play this game when I was growing up. It was called I give. And sometimes we don't want to give. You get tickle when you don't want to give. But Pharaoh, oh, no, he didn't want to give. But I tell you what, he surrendered to the Almighty in the end. You would think after each plague that, you know, his heart would have softened. But he had a hardened heart by God for a reason. God used that hardened heart. Why did God harden Pharaoh's heart? One, because Pharaoh was not innocent or he didn't have a godly mantle. He was brutal. Pharaoh was brutal. He was a brutal dictator. Overseeing, he was a terrible abuser and an oppressor of God's people. God don't play when it comes to his people now. He heard the cries of his people, the Israelites. He don't play. So number two, when Pharaoh had released from a couple of the plagues, he hardened his heart even more. Number three, Romans 9:17-18, God declares to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this purpose, that I might display my power in you and my name be proclaimed in the earth. God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy on. And he hardens whom he wants to harden. So Pharaoh, he already knew his heart was hardened, so God just hardened it even more. Because he knew that when Pharaoh went through all these things, he was going to say, get out of here, Moses, get out of here. God's ways are higher. His thoughts are far above us. Do you know anyone, or do you know or have any Pharaohs in your life? You've told them over and over what God said, God said this, and God said, you told them. But, you know, those pharaohs, they just continue to reject God. I was in Family Dollar a couple of weeks ago, and I was at the counter. I just went to, you know, at the cash register trying to check out. And all of a sudden, I'm having a conversation with the cashier. I said, do you know God? And he looked for, I said, do you know Jesus? He said, well, I'm going to tell you, miss, I believe in a higher power. I said, do you pray to your higher power? Can your higher power answer you? He goes like, well, not like that, ma'am. I just meditate. I said, when you meditate, do you listen to your higher power voice? What do you do when you meditate? Well, I just kind of sit there. And a man behind me, he said, that's okay, man. When you're finished, I got it. It was a godly man. He said, I got it. So we were tag teaming this young man. Because I don't know, for some reason, God wanted me to speak to him. I was just having a conversation at first. Then God said, do you know God? Do you believe in God? He said, he believe in some higher power. But he don't pray. Do you know what? I had to repent before God, because I'm telling you, some children, you know, I mean, they ain't never even been on the doorstep of a church. You know what I'm saying? They've never been inside, and they in their 30s and 40s. They don't even know God. So, you know, while we got time, we got to talk to our pharaohs, because some of them got heart and heart now, but we got to keep talking to them. It's one in my neighborhood. He's been living in my neighborhood since before I was, and I keep talking to him about God. Saw him last week. I said, you know, you got to get right with God. You got to come closer to God. Yeah, I know. Okay. But, you know, these people just resist. They think they got plenty of time. I mean, the coronavirus, one came, coronavirus, the second part came. People still playing with God. You could pray for them. You could warn them. You could tell them of the consequences of rejecting God. But they continue to resist God, just like Pharaoh. Distinction. There is a distinction between the world and God's people. You don't give up on them. No, you continue to pray. You fast for them. You ask God to soften their heart, give them a heart of flesh. You continue to ask God to draw them with loving kindness. Just, you know, that's how God drew us. He wooed us. He wooed us. He took care, you know, time with us, and he drew us into his presence. And now it's time to work. It's time to roll up your sleeves and work. So, you know, the world is full of pharaohs, but we got to pray for them that they'll be saved. Moses and Aaron was blessed because they were obedient to God. There are benefits in being a child of God. First of all, we have God's love. Oh, yeah, ain't nothing like his love now. You think that he commanded us to love him and he don't love us back? Oh, no. He first loved us. He first loved. And then, you know, the benefits is we belong to God. When you belong to God, he is everything we need. He is Jehovah Nisi, the banner. He's Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha. He's everything, a healer, a provider. We belong to God. He treats his children with loving kindness. And he load us up with benefits. Ain't nothing, no good thing will our God keep from us. No good thing will he withhold from us when we walk upright before him. And then we are like God. His spirit is on the inside of us. We begin to shine. You know, Moses, every time he went to the mountain now, his light got brighter. So every time we go in the secret place, our light get brighter. I ain't talking about when we run in and when we run out. I'm talking about when we dwell in the secret place. So we have certainty with God. God promises, and trust me, he's certainly going to carry them out. We are heirs with God. We are in the family of God. God, we inherit, you know, the blessings, treasures in heaven. We get to spend eternity with our God. Yeah, we don't. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend eternity in that other place because I don't want to burn. No. I want to be in heaven where God is, bowing down with the holy angels and praising him 24/7. Don't never get tired. Just thanking him for all he did for me in the earth realm. Yeah, the world does not have an inheritance from God, but God's children do. So I want to tell you that God loves you so much, and he's loading you up with benefits every day. You just got to receive them. That's all. Yeah. It's not the doctor who heal you. They not healers. It's God. Father God is the great healer. He's the one. Yeah, they put a Band-Aid on it. They you know, to stop the pain from coming or whatever sometime. But, you know how I go. God is the healer. He's the one who heal our body, even of our soul's diseases. So it's prayer time. It's prayer time. All right, I'm going to unmute the lines. Let's see. I think I have almost all of them unmuted. So anybody want to make, you know we got to pray for our babies. I tell you, baby Chloe's mother sent me a video of her. She was running. And, you know, she was 5 months old when we started praying for her. She had the liver transplant. She had blood transfusion. She had tubes here and there. So you know what? Now she's running. God is so good. He hears and answers prayers. So, you know, we got baby Chloe, baby Zoe. We got baby Kaiser and baby Revere. We got to keep praying for our babies now. Not just praying, but thanking God for all he's done over the month. Now, I definitely hear from baby Chloe's mother. She sometimes send me videos. She send me videos. She send me pictures. And one time, I remember when baby Kaiser, I probably said this to you before, when she first sent me a picture, he was hooked up to every kind of tube in every part of his body you could think of. Every part you could think of. But the last time she said, it was one tube in his nose. But guess what? He was 2 pounds or so when he was born. Now he looked like a big old wrestler. I'm talking about, you know, one of them big old, you know, full of fat. He just looked so healthy. Look at how God has answered our prayers. So, Minister Lady, you want to pray for our babies and make a prayer request after you finish that?
Yes, ma'am. God, in the name of Jesus.
Okay, go ahead.
God, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you for our beautiful children.
We thank you for the grace that you've shown toward them. And it just shows you what a heart you have, God, for children. Thank you for the assignment that we will lift them up, partner with their parents, and you cremate every part of their body from the inside out, everything that was supposed to be a problem. Thank you for meeting every need by Christ Jesus. Thank you for being a God who demonstrates your healing. We don't just say about it, but you demonstrated by making it come to manifestation. We thank you, Lord, for manifestation of the healing baby experience. And thank you for the completion of it that's on the way, whatever needs to be done. God, we bless the parents. Lift them up that they will have a heart to know you so that they can finish the spiritual work that you've done on the physical through your divine intervention, that they will be able to teach the children how they were a blessing in the earth to all of us as we saw you do your divine work with them. So we thank you, Father God. We bind all kinds of infirmities that were attacking the children. And we thank you, Father, that you have arrested the situation and you are divinely taking authority in charge, and they are on their way to fullness in Christ Jesus. We bless God, their families again. Bless the doctors and the staff that have helped them and encouraged them. Bless this body of believers, Sister G, who have led us in setting in the gap for them. It's in the name of Jesus we pray and we thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You have a prayer request, Minister Lady?
I'd like for you to pray for my brother, Matthew Ray Sand, as a young pastor, that he would just be encouraged to stay on the wall and continue to hear God's voice and walk in obedience. He'd be strengthened. And he be healed of a problem that he's been dealing with.
All right. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Brother Brian, can you pray for her brother? He's Pastor Span. Pray according to how God leads you.
Yes, ma'am. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for gathering us all here once again, God, to do your will and to share your word and to do the things that you would have us do. Right now, God, we lift up Brother Stan in prayer. We ask that you would protect him and guide him on his journey of ministry, God, on his pastoral journey to lead and guide your people, God. I pray that you will empower him with the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that only you can give to show him how to be the shepherd he's supposed to be, God. I pray that you continue to allow him to be an upstanding person for the community and for the people that is in his life, to the people that you have assigned to him, God. I pray that you continue to allow him to give them the same things that you give him, God. I pray that you allow him to lead them in the direction that you will have them go. I pray that you will allow him to be a comforter, to be a counselor, God, to be a voice of you, God, the one that will be able to speak into your people and to give them the things that they need. I pray that you continue to empower his family. I pray that you continue to empower everything that is around him, God, and that you will rebuke and devour anything that will come up in his way, that will come along his path to prevent him and to hinder him from doing your will, God. I pray that you will continue to speak to him clearly, that you continue to remove every obstacle, God, that will block your voice or to block your knowledge from him, God. I pray that you continue to do all of these things for him and his family, and I pray that you continue to look and lead and guide the people that are under him as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that powerful prayer, Brother Brian and Delaney. Thank you for praying for our babies. Thank you for talking to them. Any more prayer requests? Take your name and your prayer request, please. All right. Well, thank God for each of you. God bless you all. Thank God for you all coming on today. Thank God for your family. We're going to be closing out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for everything that you've done for all of us today. You're an amazing God. You're a loving Father, but you do chastise us when we need it. We thank you that you're everything that we need. You're the great I am. You're the one who is taking care of us. Oh, God, all of our lives. You're the one true and loving Father who loves us, who cares for us, who takes care of us. We just bless you right now. We thank you for what you've done, what you're about to do. And, Father, you said who can know their errors. So we repent for any errors, any presumptuous sins, any secret faults, any abominations, any iniquities, oh, God. And, Lord, we just thank you that you are ruler of our nation and that you have covered the earth realm. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, you have covered us from the coronavirus. You have covered us from sickness, disease. Oh, God, you have taken care of us. Even in our mother's womb, you were there when we were born into the earth realm. And we say hallelujah, all praises to the mighty King. So, Father, as we close out today but not from your presence, we ask you to walk with us because we need to hear your voice when we're walking, when we're riding in the car, when we're going places, in our home, when we're cooking, when we're eating. We need to hear your voice clear. Help us to be obedient to you. Guide us, O thou great Jehovah. So, Lord, help us, O God, in the name of Jesus, to keep our eyes fixed on you, not trying to look here and look there to the left or right, anywhere else, keeping our eyes fixed on you. So we bless and honor you. You are the King of Kings, the Almighty God. And we say hallelujah in Jesus' name. Amen. I love each of you so much, but you already know. Father God loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you so much. So have a God-filled day, a God-filled week, a God-filled month, a God-filled year. And don't forget, praise the Lord. Praise, 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 praise. Love you.